Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Your words, O Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a word that repeats itself over and over and over again in the church's sort of Lenten vocabulary. And it's translated into the Missal, at least, as to school. So this evening we prayed, right? "Grant, we pray, O Lord, that schooled through Lenten observance and nourished by your word." Now, the Latin verb here is eruditi, which is where we get like erudite. Its root, though, the rude part of erudite means exactly what rude does in English. So like rough, unfinished, and then the E is X, so like it's out of the unfinished. It literally means polished out of the rough. And this is what we're doing whenever we're teaching, whether it's littles in a school or bigs in a classroom or even in a church, I suppose. But the language here is significant because this eruditi, the way that it's operating here, this isn't just book learning. In fact, if you think of the way we use school as a verb now, it's never in a school, it's on a ball court. I'm going to school him. We're going to learn you something, right? That's deliberate because this kind of learning isn't simply didactic or intellectual. It's experiential. It's relational. It's personal. It's the kind of learning that can only take place between persons. There's a thing that happens sometimes, isn't there, where you're reading a book and especially like a novel or a poem or something like that, something more creative. It's not like a VCR manual. You have no relationship with the guy who wrote the VCR manual. Some of you don't know what VCRs are, but you get the idea, right? Technical language. It's not designed to do that thing, right? It's not designed to establish rapport or relationship between the writer and the reader. It's simply intended to convey information. Whereas a novel, a poem, a speech, these presume information and may convey some information. They certainly depend on you having some information, but they're much more directed towards transformation. And they can only exist between persons, actual human persons, or actual persons, not just human ones, who are then capable of affecting change in one another. Think about those most important relationships that make up your life, whether they're present or in the past. Parents, kids, siblings, spouses, dear friends, present and past. How you learn in the other what to expect, what to anticipate, what's good, what's maybe not so good, and the way that you are meant to respond in kind to each of those things. For me, the metaphor that always drives this home more than anything else is dancing. I don't get the opportunity to dance as much as I once did, but my mother was a terrific dancer. She actually held the world record for longest twist in 1967. But we would dance in the kitchen and in the living room and in the garage, and then I learned to dance with other partners too. But when you've got a regular partner, right, you know the muscles in their back or in their hand. And the reason it's possible for one to lead the other is because you've been schooled. Because you've done deep learning in this much more significant way. And that's what Lent is meant to do for us. This is also what the law was meant to do. The law was not simply meant to be a series of semi-random 600 factoids that God wanted to make sure you got straight. The Torah is not simply pub trivia from the Bronze Age. That's not what's going on here at all. The reason people lost it was because they got obsessed with the trivia. Which pot carried which bit of food or something like that. That is unhelpful. And it's possible anytime we do one of these, well, actually, that never works. This is never going to, it might convince somebody that they were wrong and you were right, but they're not going to like you for it. Far less love you for it or be grateful for the relationship that you put them into because of it. Instead, this sort of love is hard won through fasting and through prayer and through self-discipline. It will make us more erudite in the sense of being less rude, less unlettered, perhaps slightly more polished, but it's not meant to make us look fancy. It's just meant to make us more whole. Tonight's Mass, right, is for Larry and Teresa Contry. Teresa was gone before my time, fair enough. But Larry was certainly one who carried a lot of virtue in him. Those of us that knew him, he taught us all something about grace and virtue. And he would be the first to push back and say, Father, I need that Mass for a reason. He's right. I'm not canonizing Larry. But I sure am grateful for him. And I think many of you were too. It's important. We should be grateful for our teachers in the faith. Every time I go to celebrate Mass, I try and call to mind the offertory, the priest who baptized me, and the bishop who confirmed me, and the bishop who ordained me, the teachers and catechists that I had that really formed me, and because I'm a priest, those priests who helped make me the priest that I am today. And of course, my parents and grandparents and siblings and cousins, the people that have made me the man that I am. Tonight, maybe do that. Call to mind those who taught you in the faith, not only or mostly in your head, but especially in your heart and maybe more profoundly in your gut, in the blood and the bones where erudition lives. Then you'll know what the Lord was talking about and what it means to fulfill the law.